Please be seated and turn with me to Psalm 104. Last Saturday at the funeral, the memorial service of our sister Dora, we heard Psalm 103, and today we hear its companion psalm, Psalm 104. These psalms actually go together as one. Psalm 104. Let's hear God's word. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment, stretching out the heavens like a tent. He lays the beams of his chambers on the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot. He rides on the wings of the wind. He makes his messengers winds, his ministers a flaming fire. He set the earth on its foundations so that it should never be moved. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke, they fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took to flight. The mountains rose, the valleys sank down to the place that you appointed for them. You set a boundary that they may not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth. You make springs gush forth in the valleys, that they flow between the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. Beside them, the birds of the heavens dwell. They sing above among the branches. From your lofty abode, you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. You cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen man's heart. The trees of the Lord are watered abundantly, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. In them the birds build their nests. The stork has her home in the fir trees. The high mountains are for the wild goats. The rocks are a refuge for the rock badgers. He made the moon to mark the seasons. The sun knows its time for setting. You made darkness, and it is night, when all the beasts of the forest creep about. The young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God. When the sun rises, they steal away and lie down in their dens. Man goes out to work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom have you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Here is the sea, great and wide, which teems with creatures innumerable, living things, both small and great. There go the ships and Leviathan, which you form to play in it. These all look to you, to give them their food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. Who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. So far, the reading of God's holy word. What a great psalm for us to meditate upon on Thanksgiving Day. As I said, it goes with Psalm 103. If you remember from Psalm 103, it begins and it ends with this exhortation, bless the Lord, O my soul. And so does Psalm 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul, is simply another way of saying, worship the Lord, bless the Lord with your whole life. Not only on the Lord's Day, as we gather with the Lord's people to receive the Lord's Supper and hear the Lord's Word, we bless the Lord on that day, but also throughout the week and each day, we bless the Lord in meditating upon Him, giving Him thanks for all of His goodness. And the psalmist recognizes that we typically don't praise and thank the Lord enough for all of His benefits to us. And so he encourages himself and all of his listeners to thank the Lord and worship him with their whole life. We ought to praise the Lord more than we do because of who the Lord is. Notice in verse 1, he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great." Now, that might seem like a little understatement to us. You know, we say something's great. I had a great meal, or I read a great book. We really can't find a better adjective than great to describe the Lord. But when the psalmist says that the Lord is very great, he's using royal language. He thinks of a great king, a majestic king, a king who is seen in all of his splendor and power. Well, the Lord is great. It has to do with his sovereign rule over the whole universe. Think of Psalm 95. "For the Lord is a great God and a great king above all gods." In other words, to say that the Lord is great is to say that his greatness is unsearchable. As finite creatures, we can't possibly know the heights and the depths of our Creator's greatness. We cannot possibly know the volume of his greatness in his being. We can only know his greatness as we witness that greatness in his acts, and marvel at his work in creation, in his providence, in redemption. In fact, the Lord is so great that he cannot fully be described in human terms. You know, we struggle to use theological terms that will accurately portray his greatness as it's revealed in Scripture. As we confess in Belgic Confession Article 1, the Lord is eternal, incomprehensible, invisible, immutable, infinite, almighty. That's the first article in our confession of faith. He is, in fact, all of these attributes of greatness and so much more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. In the psalmist, he uses vivid imagery to describe God's greatness. Notice verses 1 and 2. He says, "You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment." When we think of the kings of the ancient Near East, or even medieval kings or Renaissance kings, they were clothed in splendor and majesty. They were robed in royal garments woven from the finest materials and with the best craftsmanship. But the Lord is no ordinary king. He is the king of the universe, and he clothes himself with light as with a garment. That's the closest the psalmist can come to describing this great and incomprehensible God. The Apostle John says something similar in the New Testament. He says, "God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." And the Apostle Paul says, "God dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or ever can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion." This is the God we worship and bless with all our soul and all our life. We worship him because, as the psalmist says, he is very great. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And we ought to bless the Lord and thank him more than we do, not only because of who he is, but also because of what he has done. Only this great God can create something out of nothing. Now, we all know that out of nothing, nothing comes. That's just a basic premise of human logic. But God, being the creator, can make something, especially something good, come out of nothing. And that's what he did in the beginning. Notice how the psalmist describes it. He stretched out the heavens like a tent. He put up the whole universe. The psalmist is describing God's creative acts in poetic language as spreading out a tent. They use tents a lot in the ancient Near Eastern world. And boys and girls, you've probably seen your dad struggle to put up a tent at some point, whether you guys went camping, or maybe you've seen the men out here at church put up the canopies, and we pop them up. And the Lord did something like that with this whole universe. The stars and the moon, that we so often take for granted, that we see and look at its beauty. As we saw the supermoon only a couple of weeks ago. It's part of that tent that God just popped up like a canopy. He spoke and it came into existence. When was the last time we thanked him for the moon, for the sun, for this universe? Bless the Lord, O my soul. And then in verses 3 through 4, the psalmist describes God the Creator as sitting above the canopy of his creation. He sits as the great king above the foundations of the earth, making the clouds his chariot, riding on the wings of the wind. All creation is his and made for him and for his glory. As kings would sit on thrones, high and exalted, so that you knew they were above you. Well, God sits on his throne above the universe. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And we can hear in the psalm a lyrical and poetic exposition of Genesis 1. God made the universe out of nothing, bringing light out of darkness, and then separating the sky from the waters, and then making dry land appear from the deeps. And those first 3 days of creation are remembered in verses 2 through 9 of this psalm. He does all this work without any struggle or difficulty. Men might struggle to put up a tent at times, but God doesn't struggle at all to put up the universe. He is the great God who is always in control. He set the earth on its axis so that it spins perfectly, not too fast, not too slow. Bless the Lord, O my soul. In fact, today from our studies of astronomy, we know that the earth is about 93 million miles from the sun. If it were any closer, we would melt. If it were any further, we would freeze. God is in perfect control. He set the orbit of the planet just at the right distance from the sun so that it can sustain life. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Then in verses 10 through 18, the psalmist describes God's providential care over the earth that he has made. Just as Genesis 2 describes God's providential care over all his creation and how he waters all things and causes plants to grow and for man to cultivate, well, so does Psalm 104. But the psalmist does it in the form of prayer and praise. He says, God makes springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. The Lord provides water for all the creatures that he has made. He provides water for the birds of the sky that sing among the branches, that fill our world with beauty. Where do they get that water? The Lord provides it to them. He waters the hills with rain so that its valleys are lush and green, providing life and sustenance for his creatures. He sends snow upon the mountaintops so that fresh water streams down below. Where do we get all of our water? It just doesn't magically appear in plastic bottles at the grocery store. It flows down from high mountains. In good rivers. So we tend to think, no, all of that is only drinkable by man's technology. That's not true. Last summer as I was hiking in the Alps, you walk along the trails and you put your bottle right into the stream. You need no purification system whatsoever. It's perfectly drinkable. God has been doing that for thousands of years. He provides water for all the earth. When was the last time we praised God for water? Whether washing the dishes, taking a shower, or a drink. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The water causes the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate. Verse 14. That he may bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen man's heart. Verse 15. Without the water that comes down, well, the plants don't grow. We have no good food on the table. The animals don't get to live. We don't get to have livestock. We wouldn't have good things like wine, olive oil, and bread, three staples of life for any civilized person. And throughout the Mediterranean world, even all the way back to the ancient world, these are three basic things that are needed not only to provide us with sustenance, but to bring joy to our hearts. As Calvin said, listen to this, this is fantastic. Calvin says, in these words, in verse 15, we are taught that God not only provides for man's necessity and bestows upon them as much as is sufficient for the ordinary purposes of life, but that in his goodness he seals still more bountifully with them by cheering their hearts with wine and oil. Bless the Lord, O my soul. God cares not only about the body, but also about the soul. And not only about the soul, but also about the body. And so today, as we eat and we taste good things, as we raise our glasses of wine, as we enjoy olive oil and bread, we can say, bless the Lord, O my soul. The psalmist then moves on to praise God for creating and sustaining the sun and moon, as well as the rhythm of day and night. It's all by his order, all by his design. You know, the Egyptians and the Canaanites, they worshipped the sun and the moon. But the Bible reveals God as the maker and governor of the sun and moon. God made the moon, as verse 19 tells us, to mark the seasons, to give us rhythm. And not only did he make the sun to give light and warmth that sustains life, but he also meticulously cares for the way that the earth rotates so that the sun rises and sets on our horizons at its appointed time. Man lives and works by this rhythm of night and day that God has created. And so do the animals, as many hunt and find food from God in the hours of darkness. As verses 20 through 22 tell us, when the sun rises, lions return to their dens to sleep, and humans go out to work. Or as one writer put it, all share the hospitality of God's table. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And in verse 24, the psalmist bursts into song then as he meditates upon all of these great things. He says, O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom have you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. The psalmist marvels at the complexity of God's creation manifested in nature, from the smallest species to the largest. The heavens and the earth and all that is in them, the Lord has made and sustains it all. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And the psalmist then directs his attention to the depths of the oceans. He's not done praising God for all of creation. In verse 25, he says, here is the sea, great and wide, which teems with creatures innumerable, living things, both small and great. It truly is innumerable in its amount of species. Yeah, if you are blessed to have a 10-year-old in your home who loves to watch all of these documentaries ad nauseum of the ocean, you truly learn it is the last great frontier on earth. But there is so much of the ocean we still don't even know. And as marine biologists and oceanographers are discovering species all the time, it all speaks of this creator that Psalm 104 praises, who put them all there and brings forth life. The ocean is so immense and massive, and it's all filled with God's creation. And this is also the place where the largest living creatures on earth dwell. Today, that would be the blue whale, up to 100 feet long, weighing up to 200 tons. And that may be the creature that the psalmist calls Leviathan, or the Leviathan may have been a prehistoric sea creature. The point is that the ocean is vast and deep, and God made it, the biggest creatures and the smallest. The sea seemed to the ancient Israelites to be a frightening and chaotic and uncontrollable place. God is the maker of it all and the one who filled it with life. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All creatures look to God, as the psalmist says in verse 27, to give them their food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up, says the psalmist. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. We should remember that today as we return to our homes. Try not to be so stressed out about whether or not your turkey comes out the right way. It really doesn't matter. What really matters is that you have something to eat and that what you eat has been given from an open hand of the living God. What really matters is not the compliments you hope to receive from others or give or the pictures you hope to take, but rather that God has given you something. That Psalm 104, it breathes this life and touches your life. So let us have our hearts softened by Psalm 104 as we come to gather around tables today, as we recognize with family and friends that we receive from the open hand of the Lord, that we are filled with good things. And it's not just on Thanksgiving Day. Every meal we enjoy is ultimately the product of God's kindness and providential care. That's why we give thanks. I've never been much for that phrase, shall we say grace? What does that mean to say grace? Rather, we give thanks. We pause and we give thanks. Even if you only have one taco, you give thanks to the Lord for what He has put before you, because it speaks of His masterful care in His providence, watering the fields, causing beasts to grow, causing people to exercise their vocations, all so that a taco would appear before you on your table. And we give God thanks for these things. We say, bless the Lord, O my soul. He fills our daily life with good things so that we don't starve. He gives us far more than we need and treats us far better than we deserve. And all creatures look to God for life. But when God hides His face, notice, they are dismayed, as the psalmist says there in verse 29. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. In other words, all creatures, animate and inanimate, you know, human, animal, plant, they all depend on God for life, for He is the creator and the giver and the sustainer of life. And He's the one who takes life away. And then in verse 30, notice, this is really the most remarkable thing of the whole psalm. He says something quite astonishing. When you send forth your spirit, the psalmist says, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. Now let's think about this verse just for a moment. What is the psalmist saying here? What is he saying by, when you send forth your spirit, they are created? Do you see it there in verse 30? And you renew the face of the ground. Well, he's talking about the creative power of the Holy Spirit. You know, we often forget that the Holy Spirit is the creative agent in creation. All three persons of the Trinity are active in creation. The Father speaks through the Son and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember in Genesis 1, God created the heavens and the earth. And in verse 2 it says, and the earth was without form and void, and the Spirit was hovering over the waters of the earth, active from the beginning. The Spirit is the creative agent. And the Father creates all things through the Son, but by the power of this life-giving Spirit. And the psalmist recognizes this and praises God for it. He also recognizes that it's the Spirit who causes new creatures to be born year after year, generation after generation. All creatures, whether the birth of a human baby or the emergence of a butterfly from its cocoon or new flowers in the spring, ultimately find their life source in God the Spirit, who is the creative agent of the Father's providence to bring forth new life. And the psalmist praises God for this. He marvels at the Spirit's creative power, and he says, bless the Lord, O my soul. But then as we consider this verse in the greater light of the New Testament and all that God has accomplished in redemptive history, well, our praise for God is magnified so much more. In the fullness of time, the Spirit was sent forth by the Father to use His creative powers to accomplish a work which no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered the heart of man. What was that? The Spirit was sent forth to create life in the womb of the Virgin Mary. So great was this work, so magnificent, that God sent an angel from heaven, Gabriel, to announce what he would do, not to kings or nobles, not to the rich or powerful, but to a young peasant girl, a virgin from Nazareth, betrothed to a man named Joseph. Gabriel announced to her that God would conceive in her womb and bear a son called Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. You can imagine young Mary, perplexed and confused, asking the angel, well, how can that possibly be, seeing that I'm a virgin? What did Gabriel respond? Well, he responds really with something that the psalmist in Psalm 104 gives God thanks for. He says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. You see, it was by the Spirit sent forth to bring life, that the Son of God assumed a real body and soul in the womb of the Virgin. And he was, as the church has confessed for 2,000 years, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. And the same Holy Spirit descended upon Christ at his baptism. As the heavens were opened and the Father said, you are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. And Jesus walked in the Spirit all his days, never once deviating from the Father's will. He lived his whole life in righteousness and perfect conformity to God's law. He truly blessed the Lord with his soul and all that was within him. Even as he faced the terrors of the cross and the judgment of God against our sin, even as he gave up his life for wicked sinners, Jesus still said, bless the Lord, O my soul. And it was by the Holy Spirit that Jesus was raised again from the dead, thus securing for us the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. When you send forth your Spirit, they are created. And it's only because of the Holy Spirit that has been poured out now upon his church, upon Christ's ascension, that the Spirit has caused the Word to go out, and it's that same Spirit sent forth that makes us a new creation in Jesus Christ. Here we are today, not lost in spiritual darkness and unbelief, but we are in Christ. Why? Because the Sovereign Spirit has come, has gone out and has opened your heart and regenerated your heart and replaced your heart of stone with a heart of flesh and has united you to Jesus Christ. And it's by the Spirit that you call upon the Lord, that you pray to him in public and private. It's by the Spirit that you persevere. It's by the Spirit that you have new life in Christ. The Spirit has claimed what rightly belongs to Jesus. And so we offer God our thanks today. We say because we have the Spirit who has been sent forth from God the Son, who has accomplished all of his work of redemption for us, and the Spirit now having applied all that work to us, we say with the psalmist in verse 31, may the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. His mighty works extend beyond all the wonders of his creation and all his provision which we enjoy. Yes, we give thanks for all of those things, but we also thank God for his tender mercies to us in Christ Jesus. For we are his work, his workmanship, as Paul says in Ephesians 2, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We no longer walk in the deadness of sin and our trespasses. We are no longer lost in the passions of our flesh, walking according to the course of this world, but by the Spirit who has been sent forth, who has united us to Jesus Christ and applied to us all of his benefits, we have been raised up from death to life. And we now have the promise of eternal life. God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. By grace. It's by grace that we have not been consumed from the earth, being the sinners we are. It's by grace that the wicked, whom the psalmist says, let them be no more, that we have been justified by God. And this Holy Spirit who has applied to us all the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which he earned. And so on this Thanksgiving Day, let us rejoice. Let us say, bless the Lord, O my soul. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. As we gather around tables today, let's lift up our glasses and bless the Lord, not only for His marvelous creation and ample provisions to us in daily life, but for especially in sending forth the Son and sending forth the Spirit to apply to us all the blessed work of redemption which Jesus has earned for us. Let us eat and drink today to His glory with gratitude in our hearts. And let us say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for all that You have done for us, Your mere creatures. We are owed none of Your goodness, none of Your blessings. And yet in Your goodness and Your grace and Your rich mercy, You pour them out upon us. And so we say today, bless the Lord, O my soul. Receive our gratitude, receive our thanks as we express that, Lord, in song, as we lift up our voices to You. And thank You for all that we have, even on this day and throughout the year. We pray these things through Christ our Lord. Amen.